The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Just to anticipate up front, that's where we're looking today. God's grace in Christ, in being born again as his children, and the implications of that great grace. Our text will be from 1 John. But before we look at the scriptures this morning, just some preliminary words. 25 years of teaching here. The Lord has blessed me through you, this community. Has given me just incredible gifts through you all. And I can't say enough about that deep love of the Lord. And that all that I say today just comes from what the Lord has placed in my heart through you, through his Spirit. I speak out of just a deep conviction of love. And it's going to be emotional for me. And when I get emotional, I can't speak. So you can pray that the Lord will help you here, help me here. Thank you just for how you have been, all of you in this community, just loving to me, my family, and so much. So much scripture, so little time is what has been on my heart lately. So much I'd love to share. So much I'd love to learn from you. I've been reading the Psalms. I've been reading the Gospels, looking at God's steadfast love spread from the beginning of time even down to this day. So much percolating in my heart that I would love to share. Incarnation from Genesis through Revelation, how God wants to be present with his people, how he makes that possible through Christ, living out of Christ, which will be what we talk a bit about today, being the people of God. It's been a privilege for 25 years, again, to be able to study and teach the Word. Lately, the Lord has been catching my attention about something. Jesus' words to the Pharisees in John 5, 39 to 40, he confronts the Pharisees, saying, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness to me. Yet you won't come to me that you may have life." They are right. The Scriptures did have life, for they spoke of Jesus, and coming to Jesus is where life is. It's right and good to search and study the Scriptures. But there have been moments, even in my life, where sometimes the Scriptures have become an object of study rather than a source of life. And recent years, especially recent months, they have become a source of life as never before. And it's those Scriptures to which I'd like to turn, to see Jesus, to draw life from him, his grace for us, and the implications of that grace. Just another word before we actually look at the Scriptures here. A word about Westminster and grace. At a particular moment in the history of God's church, we believe that Westminster was raised up to vigorously defend the truth, the doctrines of grace, the core of that truth. And our ministry through many generations has been to defend that truth, at the heart of which is the salvation is all by grace. It's all by Christ. We cannot do it for ourselves. What was impossible for us, God has done. We've championed the whole counsel of God, which speaks everywhere of the grace we have in Christ. And it's that grace I will be turning in a moment this morning. And we are far from alone in the church in sounding this note. But we have also had an accent here at Westminster to understand there's a fundamental movement in God's revelation of himself, that he begins not with what we should do, but with who he is, with what he has done, with grace and mercy. And that grace then does move to responsibility. There is a challenge. How do we live out of the grace we've received? It moves from who he is, what he's done, to covenant responsibility. And I guess if you're in classes here, you hear the language from indicative to imperative. It's always moved this way. In the beginning, God created. God's kindness to human beings. In the covenant he makes with Israel at Sinai, it doesn't begin with thou shalt have no other gods before me. It begins with I am Yahweh who brought you up out of the house of bondage. Always beginning with here is who I am, here is what I have done. And then there is a response to that grace. So, this morning, the good news of being made the children of God. Let's look at 1 John, a well-known passage, chapter 3, 1 to 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. For we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone has this hope in him who purifies himself just as he is pure. What an incredible grace in Christ. Children of the King of the universe. A mystery, a miracle of God making you and me his children. Nothing more caring, more intimate than a father, a parent, love for his child. And then God identifying himself, the King of the universe, identifying himself as our Father. It's not because we were worthy. In fact, precisely the opposite. He's placed his love upon us. He took a slave people. He's taken the broken, the poor, the weak of the world, of which we are in that number. And he's identified himself as the Father of us, his children. Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father. Being God's children, we're born again in Christ, born through the Spirit of the Son, the firstborn from the dead. I'm telling us nothing new. These things, these truths, the old story that we've all heard so many times. And yet I'm praying that, again, afresh, the Lord might speak to our hearts. Paul opens his letters with greetings from God the Father, the author of grace to us, speaks abundantly of sonship, our crying out to God as Abba, Father. From the beginning, God was Father to Adam. Israel, an orphan found in a howling waste, kept by God, becomes his firstborn son. So much. And now through the Son of God, we are born again. We are made the children of the King of the universe. But there's a challenge about being God's children. John speaks superlatively about what we've received in being made the children of God through Christ and his atonement. Grace is Christ dying for us. What we could not do for ourselves, God has done in Christ. And not only are we redeemed, but again, made children. What lavish love. Grace is Christ in us, the power of his Spirit. Grace is what we cannot do for ourselves, including loving the Father as he has loved us and loving one another as he has loved us. But the Apostle John also minces no words about the implication of this grace, this Christ has moved into our lives. This great gift also comes with a challenge, with a call to respond to the grace in a way that's worthy of that grace. There's a certain warning that the apostle gives us. And I will just read, without always citing the passages, a collage here now from chapters 2, 3, and 4 of John, 1 John, beginning in chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, yet I am writing you a new command, Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. This is how we know who the children of God are, who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how we know, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. No exception clauses there. No excuses, no exemptions, no special cases. It's not just simply be kind, but it's even love as Jesus has loved. Lay down your life. There's no asking, don't you see what she did to me? Haven't you heard what he said about me? The command to love and forgive, to lay down our life in this situation, is a great, high exhortation. And it's, if the grace we have received in Christ is what it is, can the calling be any less? When we hate, malign, speak ill, think ill, fail to love our fellow family, church member, we are sinning against God. When we fail to love in this way, it is a black eye to the kingdom. Sadly, we do see it in the church. It even can happen here at Westminster Seminary, among friends, among students, among our permanent faculty and staff and administration. But there is hope for this grace. And that's, well, I'll come back to that. God's name is dishonored if we do not have that kind of love. It should distress us. And we're warned here by the apostle that should we hate our brother, we have no part in him. This is sobering. Our tendency, and I'm starting with the bad news perhaps here, we do get angry. We do focus on the wrong done to us. And that wrong may be genuine wrong, someone sinning very seriously against us. But that doesn't change God's unqualified love, unqualified command out of the grace and the forgiveness we've received to forgive nonetheless. We excuse ourselves. We point the finger at others. We don't forgive. We speak ill. We think ill. We don't care about what the personal welfare of others. Indeed, laying down our lives means we do esteem others better than ourselves. This is what Jesus has done for us. How can we do any other? We may openly slander one another, or we may be more subtle. We may keep quiet, but just be suspicious and believe the worst rather than the best about a brother and sister. Too often it's all about us, our own anger, our own bitterness, where we have been wronged. And when these things show up in our hearts, it should indicate there's a disconnect, that we're not seeing the grace of God in our own lives. We're forgetting what we have received. And this is where we need to begin. Remember, we forget the mercy. We forget the forgiveness. We forget that incredible love that He's lavished on us in being made the children of God. We forget that Jesus laid down His life for us. We forget that we've been made all things in Christ, raised up, alive. And as we lose sight of Jesus' love and His own example, we stop living in the way that our Heavenly Father has called us to live. And it's a grace, being made the children of God, that goes beyond anything that we can even fathom or understand. And if those tendencies we were talking about are there in your life, the solution is to listen and hear and say, I'm not seeing the grace that God has given me in Christ, and to run to Christ. God calls us to love with His kind of love. It's that laying down your life kind of love. And it's contrary to the world. It's contrary to our own interests. He has set the bar incredibly high. He doesn't call us simply to be kind, but to lay down our lives for each other, not to be interested in what's in it for us, but to care what's in it for Christ, what's in it for that other person. Brothers and sisters, it's an impossible command. I asked myself as I thought about this, how can we do this, Lord? But again, it cannot be otherwise. We have received this incredible salvation, this unfathomable grace, children of God. It's such grace so great, how can the call to respond to it be any less? And we can't jump over that bar on our own. We have been made God's children. We've been given the Spirit. We've been given new hearts. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. To jump over that bar, we need to say it is impossible. But Lord, we come to You, and You wouldn't ask us to lay down our lives if You were not going to empower us. And look to Christ and see what we have in Him. And these other things will melt away as we see Him. So how do we move from here to there? Listen to your conversations, both internal and external. Who are you talking to? What are you thinking about in terms of your brothers and sisters? Again, if we're going to say we love our Father in heaven, He tells us we need to be loving one another. Be open to the Spirit showing you where you struggle to love. Run, don't walk to Him. Fly to the source of mercy. Look to the one who alone can forgive you and cleanse you and give you what you need to love. The first step is not simply trying to love that person you're struggling with more. You'll never succeed. It's like trying to get the television set to go on when it's not plugged in. You need to be plugged in to that grace that flows from Jesus alone. Ask Him to change your heart. Let it drive you to your knees, to Scripture. Remind yourself over and over again of that grace, that love, that mercy, that forgiveness. Pray till you see Jesus' love, not only for yourself, but for that other person. See Jesus change your heart. But don't wallow in failure. Confess your sin, repent, and He will cleanse you, forgive you, and empower you. Ask God to show you His love for the people of God, to put them in your heart. Ask the Lord to show you the love for those who don't know Him, that they may be called to Him. Pray that you too will be just reconnected to His grace. Believe the best. Give. Forgive. Speak hope into the lives of others. Point them to Jesus. God loves each and every one of us equally. We don't deserve forgiveness any more than anyone else. We cannot control what others do to us, but we are responsible for how we respond. often with our own children, where they have difficulties. And one will do something to the other, and the other will strike back, not necessarily physically. We always deal with the child that strikes back first. We deal with both because you're still responsible to love, to deal with your own heart no matter what someone does to you, and to see, help them see grace as they respond to their offending sibling. So let me encourage us. How do we move from here to there? We run to Jesus. And then as we see Jesus, we speak hope, not curses, into the lives of those we're struggling with. We pray for them for hope, that they might see Jesus, that they might honor Christ. I hope it's obvious what we're talking about here is not simply behavior change, but heart change. That it's so easy to want to see people change and tell them what to do rather than to point them to Jesus and say, run to Jesus. Now, I've been sharing general things. The Lord, my own experience for a moment. You know, God has not given me a free pass, facing death relatively imminently here. God has not let his foot off the gas pedal in my life. These very issues about which I'm speaking have surfaced in my own life, where there are people with whom I struggle to love. And I've had to fly to Jesus to repent, to look for the very grace I've been talking about. Learning to pray for others, not about what they've done to me, but if they've done these things, there's a disconnect in their life. They need to see Jesus, and I've lost sight of that. Asking God to show his love for me. There have been several different spheres of my life where the Lord has just put his finger and just challenged me about person X, Y, or Z. I am grateful that he has not given up on working in my own heart. Looking for ways to speak encouragement into the lives of others. The Lord has just really impressed that upon me, to speak of Jesus and the hope we have in him. For it's from that point, from grace and mercy in Christ, that people will change. Oh, and just simply to plead, Lord, change my heart. Show me your love for others, to pray until I see him and see him changing me and others. Here's the way, just to finish up this morning. The kingdom comes as I see the scriptures speaking to us. It comes through God having loved us and receiving that love and then turning around and living that laying down your life kind of love. That's the kind of love he calls us to. The grace is so great, can the exhortation be any less? The world will notice. Imagine how the world would take notice, for example, if the Israelis and the Palestinians suddenly laid down their arms and loved each other. The kingdom comes as we preach the truth and as we live out of grace. There are moments when we do sin, when we do sin against each other. And it's precisely as we forgive one another out of the grace we have received that literally a tsunami of love is unleashed. Doing that which points to Christ, that is just not of the world, loving where it is not in our self-interest, but loving as Jesus has loved us. Jesus has prayed and taught us to pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. And I'm so grateful for that because God will answer that prayer, is answering that prayer. His kingdom is coming. His will is being done. And that includes giving us the grace to love in the manner that honors him, that is worthy of him, In Christ, God has done what we cannot, given broken vessels new life as his children, and the power to do what is impossible for the world, lay down your life. If you struggle to love, look to Jesus. Don't excuse yourself, for you do that to your peril. We do that to our peril. Look instead to Christ. Confess your sin, your need for his help to love. He'll change your heart. He continues to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. He is preparing a spotless bride without wrinkle that will honor him. Here at Westminster Seminary, I look out at students, staff, administration, faculty, and my prayer, my joy, and all that was said here, that we might just see this grace we've received in being made children, that our lives might be the blackboard upon which Jesus writes his grace for all to see, that we be those who champion the truth and live out of that grace in a way that says Jesus is alive and we lay down our lives for one another. To him be the glory. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It shows his grace and power. I pray that when people look at us in this room, in the church, they won't say how great we are, but they'll say, Jesus is good. He is the Lord. Look to him, for in him we receive the most lavish of love. We're made the children of God. I'd like to finish with singing Lead On, O King Eternal. And there's a line there. It's with deeds of love and mercy his heavenly kingdom comes. But let me just lead us in prayer before we sing that hymn. Oh Lord, what grace you have given us in Christ. We've been made your children. And forgive us where we have lived at times as orphans, where we have in our own lives evidence that we are just disconnected from your grace. But praise be to your name. At any moment, we can run to you and you give us grace, forgiveness as we seek you. Lord, give us eyes to see Jesus. Without your grace in our lives, we cannot see. We are blind. Without you opening our eyes, we will not know and live out of what this abundant grace is. But Lord, you've called us to a high calling, to love as you have loved, to lay down our lives. And Father, I pray that in our hearts, our desire, our heart will be to honor you in this way. We can't jump over that bar, Father. It's impossible for us. But we ask that you, in the power of your Spirit, for the glory of your name, enable us to be those who honor our Savior, honor the mercy we have received by loving one another. Thank you for what you have given us in Christ. You are our only hope. In Christ we came, in Christ we come today. In that last day, we come in Christ, and we are grateful. We pray and thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing number 580.